fills up our plates. Papa saying grace. Louisiana living sweet as sugar on beignets.
Hey y'all, Shelly here. You know, some people avoid hard conversations completely. And then there are others who tend to jump in too quickly and say too much. Yeah, I resemble that. And yet, the fact remains, hard conversations are necessary. They challenge us and they change us. So regardless of your relational style, we need to learn how to have them. In today's show, Lori Roloveld, author of The Art of Hard Conversations, will give us some much-needed tips and tools to do just that. But first, let's have a hard conversation right now, shall we? Did you know there's now a company out there devoted to helping you get the flu? It's true. You know about chickenpox parties, right? I didn't participate with mine, but I heard about them. This is like that, kind of. Only this company that I will not name because I don't like to see the flu spread, but I'm not in the business of helping straight-running crazy spread either. And we're already in epidemic stages in many areas of our fine nation. Well, this company will ship any sucker, I mean anyone interested in their services, a used tissue from someone who is already suffering from the flu. Yeah, all for the super low cost of $80. If you're trying to keep up, this means you can add this benefit to the already established offer of getting a transplant from the extra output of a super pooper to aid in your digestive issues, and you'll be covered at both ends. I'm assuming the flu tissues come with instructions, but I'm here with some that will save you that $80. Just keep the church nursery next Sunday. You'll have access to more snotty noses and used tissues than you could ask for. And hey, if you're in the market for a good stomach virus, you may be able to grab one of those too. You're welcome. I'm just one woman, but I do what I can. Welcome back to All Things Southern. I am delighted to speak to Lori Roloveld about a very important topic. If you've been with me at All Things Southern very long, you've heard me speak to this and about the fact that the things that need to be said aren't always the easiest things to say. Well, I'm holding a book in my hand that the only problem I have with it is that I didn't write it. I kind of wish I had written it, Lori. But the title of this book is The Art of Hard Conversations, Biblical Tools for the Tough Talks That Matter. And it's a tool you need, dear listener. So I hope you'll settle in for what I expect to be a very informative chat. Let me begin, Lori, by thanking you for being by All Things Southern today.
Oh, thank you so much, Shelley, for having me. It's wonderful to hear the Southern accent coming through up here in New England.
Well, thank you, ma'am. It's my accent, for better or worse. But I am eager to talk to you about your new book, so let's jump into that. The Art of Hard Conversations. Why did you describe hard conversations as an art?
I believe it's an art because it takes practice. Anybody who has done any kind of performing art or even a martial art knows that you never perfect it. You keep working at it. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of practice and a lot of support from other people. And there are a lot of things about it that you can't control when you actually go to do it. And so I think that we think about hard conversations as something that we should just be able to do. And if we can't do it, then we often just avoid them. Or if we don't avoid them, if we're someone who likes to jump into hard conversations, we're so comfortable, we never stop to think whether or not we're effective.
Oh, that is so good. I love that. I follow that reasoning completely, because so often we do decide it's either or. We're either good at this, and so, you know, we're going forward, or we're not, and so let someone else have the hard conversations. But as believers in Christ Jesus, we are all called to have those hard conversations. So I appreciate the way you set this up and let us know, you know, this is a art, and there are some pointers. There are some skills that you can learn to help you get better. Lori, can I tell you that I was just intrigued by you as a 10-year-old. Can I just just lay that out there right here? You begin the book with a story about yourself and your dad, and a conversation I would say would definitely qualify as a hard conversation at the age of 10. Mm-hmm. Now, clearly you had not had a lot of experience and a lot of training, but the Lord led you into a very important conversation. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. When I was a very small child, I was probably 4 or 5, I remember hearing a Billy Graham crusade on television. My mom was sewing in the dining room and I was listening in the living room. And when Dr. Graham issued his altar call, I went forward, and it just changed my life even as a little girl. We had a lovely home, and yet there were a lot of issues that were kind of prevalent in the 60s that just plagued our family. And one of those was my father's mm-hmm. distance. So at mm-hmm. this point, I decided to take it into my own hands. And Dad was during commercials one night, Dad was sitting in his recliner, and I went up to him and said, I heard that people in comas can still hear other people talking. So I'm just going to believe that you're in a coma, Dad, and that the father I need is in there, and that he does love me. And so I'm going to talk to you from now on. And when, you know, one day, hopefully you'll wake up and we'll have already been having a relationship all these years. So it was, now when I think back on it, I think, what was I doing? Dad did not even respond. I'm sure he thought, what is this right. nonsense? But
did he say anything that
nothing,
day?
Nothing, absolutely nothing. Dad nothing. Was amazingly okay. able to just say nothing. And so he yeah. didn't respond, but in my 20s, we began to forge a relationship. And then later on, when my son was born, Dad really woke up to the importance of relationships in his life. And he renewed his relationship with Jesus. And we've had wonderful years together. We've been very close.
I love that. You know, your story reminds me, I often say, because I encourage people all the time to have those hard conversations. And, you know, sometimes if we will just remember that what happens in that moment when we say that hard thing, when we bring up that thing that, you know, is really not, how's the weather? You know, it's not right. exactly the easy thing to bring up, but we could say things that will remain and that the Lord can bring back. And so no doubt, even though your dad didn't respond and say anything to you, don't you know that the Lord used that in his mind in the days to come, that he thought about it, and you had,
absolutely.
You planted those seeds.
The conversation freed me. So mm-hmm. it helped me to reframe our relationship in a way that I could function in it and have integrity about what I wanted from it, even as a little girl. So a lot of times we're so worried about how the other person's going to respond, we don't realize the freedom it's going to give us just to do our part.
Oh, that is really good. I'm so glad that you brought that up, because you were able, even at that young age, then to relate to your dad in a totally different way because you said that. I see such potential there for all of us. I hope we have ears to hear. So kudos to little bitty Lori. She just really did a good job there. Now let's talk some more, or get into deeper, a discussion about the hard conversations. Little story for you. Back up a moment. I was in Houston, Texas this past weekend. We have a son and a daughter-in-law and 3 grands that live here in Lake Providence, Louisiana. Then we have a daughter and a son-in-law and 2 grands in Houston, Texas. I bring it up because sometimes the hard things that you can say are very good things that are maybe embarrassing. And just this past weekend, I told my son-in-law how proud I was of him when we were leaving, and how he has made such a great life for my daughter, such a great businessman. And I was telling him, you know, you carved this out. He's a believer, you know, with the Lord's leading, but no one gave you this. You know, you've worked hard for it. And sometimes those moments can be awkward and, you know, a little bit, ooh, this is a little bit embarrassing. But I believe that then you leave and those words can just continue to bring some encouragement and comfort. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And throughout the book, I hope that people don't imagine that the book is simply about confronting people or having confrontational conversations. Many hard conversations are ones where we use our words to build up or to tell how much they mean to us or point out something to them that they might not see about themselves that's wonderful. So I think that it's just
that
as
is
important
so good.
For the church to develop, to build a culture of positive words. And those that can be hard. It's very hard for some people more than others. And we need to be understanding about that, but also encourage those people to kind of get over that and work through it.
This is so true. Tell me a little bit about why you think we don't have the hard conversations.
Well, I think there are some good reasons we don't have hard conversations and some bad ones. So it's not all bad. We often think that the reason we avoid them is because we're worried about what people think about us. And of course, that can be a factor. Sometimes it's because some people think it's because we're ashamed of our faith or ashamed of the truth. And I think more often than not, that's not really what the situation is. Most of the time, I think what we are is afraid that we'll make things worse. We're afraid that we won't represent Christ well, that we'll add something in ourselves that will make it worse.
I highlighted that. Okay, page 39. page 39 says, our secret fear is that we will bumble conversations and blemish God's greatness rather than confirm it.
Mm-hmm. Sure, absolutely. And that's, I talk about a couple of different of conversational personality types in the book. They're not scientific at all. They're simply for sake of analogy. But so some people are turtles. We clam up, we get into our shell when any hard conversation comes up. And I think for turtles, especially, they're just afraid of bumbling things. They, just like you said, they're afraid of just making things worse. The other conversational type is our hawks. Hawks are more worried that if they're not creating conflict, they're letting Jesus down. And if the more people who agree with them, the more worried they are that maybe they're compromising. So that, you know, that I think that hawks need more support around that it's okay sometimes to listen, that you can listen without compromising truth. And I do a lot of work around that in the book. Like, what is it? You know, a lot of times we think that listening is always going to lead us to compromise truth, and that's absolutely not true.
Right. You know, if I could interrupt you one more time. Now, I told you I enjoyed the book. So even as you're speaking, you reminded me of another highlighted section. I communicate a lot with humor, and a lot of the All Things Southern community just really appreciates humor. And I found it all through your book. And so I wanted to read a few of your words here on page 25 about that hawk. And it says, it's a thing of beauty to watch a hawk swoop towards prey, unless you're the prey.
That's exactly right.
In the interest of full disclosure, Lori, I understand the hawk that just wants to swoop in and speak some truth and straighten some things out. But the hawk needs to learn a little restraint, right?
Absolutely. And I'm the third type. I'm the chameleon. In my personal life, I can be a turtle. You know, if I get served food that's not what I ordered or it's burned, I'm more likely just to eat it than to make anyone uncomfortable and send it back. But when it comes to things of the Bible within the church, talking about God or talking to God, I can be a hawk and just run roughshod over people. So that, you know, I need to be alert on both ends of the spectrum.
Those communication styles were very revealing. And I want people to pick up this book and read more about them. But we're going to move on because my goal is going to be to just tease them. You know, I want them to get this book and have these tools in their handbag. So let's talk a little bit about the place of Scripture. I'm a word girl. The Word of God is just everything to me. I love the Word of God. And so I want you to tell us a little bit about how to effectively use Scripture in these hard conversations, and how important is it to you?
Well, the first place to use scripture is in preparing for hard conversation, and that is to make sure that we're applying the scriptures to ourselves when it comes to just general concepts of speech, making sure that we know the biblical truth that we're sharing. I had a female relative who used to quote sort of fake scripture all the time. And, you know, I talk about her a little bit in the book, and she would, you know, say to me, you know, God says birds of a feather flock together. Okay, well, he doesn't. Or, you know, she would just say things, wild things, and say they were from scripture. So it is important that we know the truth before we go about speaking it. And I think as Christians, we need to be careful that we don't try to club each other with scripture. Sometimes when believers disagree, we start throwing Bible verses and Bible passages at each other. And what an offense that must be for God that we're, you know, using his words to beat up on each other. So those are some things that we need to think about in preparing. And that is with his word and letting him have a hard conversation with us before we open our mouths with anybody else.
And now you said a mouthful. I'll repeat that for anyone listening. Let God have those hard conversations with us before, through his scripture, before we try to have a hard conversation with someone else. That is just solid gold advice that we can all benefit from. God is gracious and he is kind, and I often call them Bible beatings that you're referring to, you know, when we use the scripture against each other as a Bible beating. And like you, I can just see the Lord just cringing. Give us a few tips, Lori, just some advice about having a hard conversation with someone. What has worked well for you?
I think one of the key tools I try to give people is to slow down the conversation, not to be so quick. We all think we have to have an answer, especially these days. There's so many divisive conversations coming up, and where people come at us with, what does God say about this? Or what do you think about abortion? Or, you know, all of these topics. One thing that that Jesus always did in those kind of confrontational situations was to ask a question before he answered. Christians need to begin to make this a life habit to say to the person coming at you, what, why are you so passionate about this topic? Tell me more about that. Or what's your interest in knowing what the Bible has to say about that? What, you know, why do you care about what the Bible says? And to really begin to listen to what they have to say. It probably won't change the content of your answer. In fact, I hope it won't, but it should change the delivery, and it may help that other person think through what they're actually asking you so you can have a more meaningful conversation.
Agreed. I'm going to have to send you a link now. I don't know if you have ran across, I think it was just released last couple of days, but it was a new report by Barna. And it just lines up. I kind of pulled it up while we were talking here. It lines up so perfectly with what you were saying about being able to slow that conversation down and ask questions and actually listen. And it was a percentage of people who are not practicing Christians who said that they would want to talk to a person about Christ or about matters of faith, or they would not. And so some of these stats are like, I would talk to someone that listens without forcing a conclusion.
Amen.
You know, it's like 2-1. Amen. 2-1. They would like to talk to someone that won't force, you know, that conclusion or that decision. And then another one was like 2-1 that demonstrated an interest in their life instead of just, you know, giving them all of your information. Someone, like you just said, that began to ask some questions that demonstrated an interest in their life. So you will really enjoy that article.
Thank you.
I'm going to send it to you. But back to The Art of Hard Conversations by Lori Roloveld, Biblical Tools for the Tough Talks That Matter. Now, you have several ways that we can use this book. Talk to us about the workshops that you offer.
Sure. So within the book, the book in itself is a workshop. Each of the chapters is broken into short little lessons, just like any art. If I was going to learn karate and I studied all kinds of books about it, but never got on the karate floor and threw a block or a punch, I wouldn't actually be learning anything. So this book has little assignments and that you can try with you know, I recommend to do it with someone, you know, a good friend. You can do it with a small group, or even your whole church would really benefit. I have a 90-minute hard conversation workshop that I do with churches, and several of them have been working on it, and then they're starting to practice this together, which can be really fun to do. It just added into the 10 minutes at the beginning of a meeting. We're going to practice the skill. The more you do it, the more it becomes just part of your daily life.
I see it as very good material for like my women's group at church, the ladies that I serve. I really want to bring it to them, because I think it's just the way you have these workshop questions set up at the end would just foster such good conversation. Tell the listeners where they can find you and connect and learn more about the other books that you have written. Oh, and may I just tell you that one of your titles just cracked me up. Y'all listen to this. One of Lori's titles is Running from a Crazy Man and Other Adventures Traveling with Jesus. That's solid gold right there, Lori. Right.
Well, thank you very much. And I am all over the internet. I do love to interact with readers. So please, you know, friend me on Facebook. You can find all of my links to social media at my website, which is Lori, Lori, R-O-E-L-E, V as in Victor, E-L-D, Rolavel.com. Or if you Google Disturber of Hobbits, that's my tagline, and I'm the only Disturber of Hobbits out there, so I'll likely come up in your Google search.
And then you could also put The Art of Hard Conversations in a Google search, and you would be led back to Lori as well. And of course, when the podcast airs, it will be in the podcast notes. Lori, let's leave the listening audience with just like a really good, some really good verbs, some good advice for the person that's listening. And I mean, they're immediately, while we've been talking, they're thinking about the hard conversation they need to have with someone, and they're listening to us and wondering if they can do it. What would you tell them to do first to move forward?
The first thing to do is to trust that you right now you're not feeling equipped for that hard conversation. And I can tell you that if you know Jesus, then you are. That you are the right person. There are some great speakers and great preachers out there, but you're that person in that person's life. So you can have this conversation, even, you know, I want you to learn from my book, but if you don't have my book and you've got to have that hard conversation tonight, you can talk to God and trust that the Holy Spirit is going to be with you. If you humble yourself, if you go in there knowing what you want to say, write out what you know, three sentences. This is what I'm hoping to communicate. This is what I hope will be the outcome. And this is what I'm willing to do going forward, depending on how the conversation is going to go.
That is great advice. If we take those pointers and prepare ourselves in prayer, and then having a little something written down, like you suggest, then we can go into that conversation feeling confident that we're ready to have it. Lori, I want to thank you for the time that it took for you to write this book. I know it required something of you, but I believe it can be a tool that the Lord can really use in our lives for His glory. You've been listening to an interview with Lori Roleveld about the art of hard conversations, biblical tools for the tough talks that matter.
I remember singing with Roy Rogers at the movies when the West was really wild. Country, when country wasn't cool. Yeah, I was country, when country wasn't cool.
You're listening to All Things Southern. Now here's your host, the author of Suck Your Stomach In and Put Some Color On, Shelley Tomlinson.
If I were a betting woman, I would have put big odds down on my having my cup of cobbler on the website already. And I would have been out some money. I mean, it's still hard to believe, but I can't find it, so I'm fixing it. My mama, you've heard me call her the queen of us all, because she is, taught us girls how to make this cobbler many moons ago, and it never fails me, so I always resort to it. I'm going to make it today with blackberries, but if it were summertime and fresh peaches were available, that would be almost a sin. Almost. I'm pushing the envelope as it is, seeing as how I'm settling for these store-bought berries instead of harvesting them from the banks of ditches, like we did back in the day. But something tells me the beloved farmer won't be complaining. Your folks won't either. Let me show you how to whip this up. Mama preferred using a casserole dish for her cobblers. I like to use my cast iron. So I've preheated the oven to 350 degrees, and now I'm going to slide my favorite skillet in here along with a stick of butter and let it melt. Meanwhile, I've got about 3 to 4 cups of berries. I'm going to rinse them, and then I'll take the back of a spoon and smush a few to get some juices going. All right, let's whip up that batter. Here's where the cuppa comes in. We're going to take a mixing bowl and combine a cup of flour with a cup of sugar and whisk in a cup of milk. Got it? Toss in a teaspoon of vanilla and a pinch of salt, stir it well, and ta-da! Cuppa, batter's up. It's time to pour this into the sizzling hot skillet with the melted butter and stir. Then we'll spoon the fruit into the batter here and there and slide it all back in the oven for about an hour, or until the top has formed a scrumptious golden crust. Serve with ice cream, preferably homemade. That's my cuppa cobbler from the queen of us all and the All Things Southern kitchen to yours. And now, before we go, let's open the Word together. Psalms 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." And I say, amen. We can't get too much word, but we can surely get too little in our busy little 9-to-5s. Let's talk about ways to correct that, beginning with that smartphone in your hand. Our smartphones are never wiser than when we use them to connect with God and His Word. Here are just a few hastily jotted habits that have been so beneficial to me. 1, let your audio Bible read to you while you're dressing in the morning. 2, use that valuable drive time or daily walk to listen to a good Bible teaching via the many awesome podcasts available. 3, use your reminders to set prayer alerts at regular times during the day. 4, use that notepad to keep prayer lists. And 5, let your smartphone help you memorize scripture by recording yourself saying your memory work and playing it back during the day. Again, those are just a few ideas I use. I'm sure there are more. Drop me a note if you have one to add to the list. Or better yet, you can leave that note for the whole All Things Southern community on my Facebook author page or on the podcast Facebook page. Yeah, that'd be more fun. I love seeing our community interact. That's it for this week, folks. If you're enjoying the podcast, would you be so kind as to give it a review and share it with your family and friends? Many thanks. Remember, you can also subscribe to my newsletter at the website. That's bellofallthingssouthern.com. Until next time, may the good Lord bless you and keep you, make His face to shine upon you, and give you peace. This is Shelley with Hugs for All.